Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. We are having some major difficulties with Blog Talk Radio right at the moment. None of my panel can get into the switchboard. We've been fighting with this for 10 minutes. We've reset it three times. So rather than keep you all just hanging out there waiting, I am going to cancel the show, and we will reschedule. If we can get this technical difficulty straightened out, I will have an announcement up on Blogger News ASAP. If I can get it straightened out, we will aim for 4 o'clock Central, 1 hour from now. I do apologize. This is completely outside of my control. So, again, sorry. Maybe our switchboard is recovering. Oh.
Okay. Hi, Simon. This is TJ.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I popped zero instead of one, so if the other folks are trying to get on,
do the same thing.
Dude, I strongly advise it. It took 19 tries.
I don't think they're getting any sound, though.
Well, at least it's being recorded. I guess that's something. Okay, I'll take this from the top, even though we're 2 minutes late getting started here. Good afternoon, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host for the next 90 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. And once again, our main focus is going to be on the frustrating Hayley Cummings case. We are having some pretty severe problems with Blog Talk Radio this afternoon. There appears to be a technical issue with the switchboard, so I'm having trouble bringing my guests on, but I do know for sure I have my wife Jan in the studio. Jan, hi.
Hi, Simon.
And we also have TJ Hart from WSky 97.3. TJ, how always good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Great to be alive.
And how about them Gators?
How about them Gators?
How about them Saints?
Hey, I love them Saints.
Hey, them Saints is kicking butt today.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, with Tampa.
Oops,
well, you know, it's nice when you get to play a practice game, you know.
I think it's 38-7 right now.
Wow. Tampa's playing out of their mind.
Right. And I do believe that from Southern Florida, we have investigator William Cobra Storbs on the line. Bill, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Always a pleasure. I thought I dialed into a football station or something. I wonder what happened.
Well, actually, what happened was we were having horrible technical difficulties. Blog Talk Radio thought it would be a wonderful time to give me heart failure. I do believe that we also have Denny Griffin on the line. Is that you, Denny?
Good afternoon.
Hey, welcome back there, world traveler.
Well, thank you very much.
And how was the big cruise?
It was an excellent cruise. I had a very great time, and I enjoyed my few days in Florida, and it was great. Looking forward to doing it again.
Right. And did you meet any ex-mobsters on the boat?
As a matter of fact, I think I met a couple of future mobsters on the boat.
Glad to hear you again, Denny. I was out taking care of your business in Vegas last weekend this time.
Really, Cobra?
Hey.
Well, good. I'm sure you did a good job.
You know I did, brother.
We are also expecting Levi Page to be joining us, but I did get an email from him a few minutes ago that he was going to be late. He is apparently babysitting or dog-sitting his 94-year-old grandmother's puppy. But he will be with us as soon as he can. Mm-hmm. As always, both our chat room and switchboard is open, and the number to call is 646-378-1120. So, on with the program. Jan, maybe we could start with a quick update on the Kaylee Anthony case. Mm-hmm. Looks like Baez and the Seven Dwarfs have been playing spin the bottle to find a scapegoat again.
Yeah, it seems that way. This week they deposed Roy Kronk in the case, and it seems like after that there was an announcement from the press or wherever that the defense team filed a motion in court suggesting that Kronk could have been the one that has killed Kaylee. They claimed that they had some questioning about his past. They said he's got a history of inappropriate behavior with young girls, abuse towards women. He's used duct tape to restrain women. And it's different things that they're saying that I read one report that said they had just as much circumstantial evidence against him as they have against Casey. So that he could be the killer just as much as she could have been. So we don't know what they're trying, but, I mean, how many people is this now that they blamed? The nanny, Jesse Grun, Richard Grun, and God only knows who else. And I guess if none of this works, they're going to go back to the nanny's story.
Jan?
Uh-huh.
Is this separate and apart from the previous statements by Baez that they had proof positive that it would exonerate Casey, or is this something new?
No, this has just happened Thursday. It was either Wednesday or Thursday. I forgot what day now it was. They deposed Roy Kronk, and after that is whenever they went and filed the motion and said that, you know, that he could be the one that they're trying to pin it on him now. So they claim that they've got, you know, all this background with him and saying that, you know, he was there and that there was a lot of questions remaining about how he was there to find the body and all that kind of stuff. So it's fishing, but I think it's more like just trying to pin it on somebody else.
I felt bad for him, Jan, because when he left out of Baez's office, he said, yeah, Mr. Baez, he's a nice guy. I wonder if he thinks that after hearing the interview that
yeah.
I did with Jane Velez Mitchell.
Oh, exactly, yeah. He's trying to hang him now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the man, I don't know if the man, I mean, what his past is, it's his past. But if he found the body, I mean, he did something somebody else, nobody else would do or could do. So, I mean, I don't know what is the man's past, if any of this is true or not. But
he's got to come
to me now. They said that they talked to two of his ex-wives, I believe, but none of it was the statements that they've got was put under oath.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, he's come clean now how he ended up at that part of the woods.
Yeah.
With connection with his girlfriend at the sheriff's office. I mean, now he's going to have to tell all.
The prosecution hasn't deposed him yet, but the judge had ordered that he's got to answer those questions.
Oh, yeah.
And he was trying to get out of it, saying that he was an employee of Baez and all that, but now they're saying, now the judge ordered him that he's got to do it, and I think it's December either 7th or the 17th or something like that, he's got to prepare for it.
Wait a minute. He said he was an employee of Baez?
Yeah.
No, not Kronk.
Yeah, no, yes, he did. He said...
What?
No, wait. No, okay.
Nah,
no, right. That's the other one. Okay. But anyway, all right, I'm getting it all.
You're talking about Dominic Casey. I knew who you were talking about.
Okay, but anyway, it's still, you know, the man is being messed up, and you know, I think they just pinned it on him because they want to pin it on anybody that they can. So.
Denny, you've been
yes.
following this case, and you're kind of the crime doctor.
Yes.
Now it seems to me that Baez and his ever changing theories, you know, Zanny, Jesse, Richard Grun, now Roy Kronk, this looks like potentially a dangerous strategy. You don't want to play multiple theories in a courtroom. Do you see this creating problems for buyers?
I certainly think it could. My idea is if you start throwing out too many suspects or alleged killers, and the other side shoots them down, I think I don't know how much credibility the defense team is going to have to start with the jury. But it seems to me whatever they have, they could lose very quickly if they start this, you know, throwing it up against the wall, hoping something sticks with all these different theories of theirs as to who actually did it. If they had something that's strictly focused on Casey, such as they come up with some mystery alibi to account for every minute of hers, you know, from the time...
For the whole month.
Yeah, for the whole month, or something like that, where they weren't throwing in other people. I think, would have a little better chance. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think this could blow up in their face.
I was in the grocery store yesterday, and, you know, the tabloids that you have right in front of your face while you're in the checkout line, I seen the National Enquirer's got one of the neighbors was a witness to watching Casey kill Kaylee. I said, what are they going to say next? So, I don't know.
And actually, on the subject of the National Enquirer, Cobra, have you had any more heard any more feedback from Richard Grund about what he's going to do with the Enquirer article that they put out about him?
We're based on my client there, we're keeping that under wraps. There's some things in the motion right now in the works. But we're keeping that real close to the chest, that one particularly.
Right. Mm-hmm. TJ,
yes.
You've covered a huge number of crime stories. I know that Kaylee is not one that your station covers on a regular basis. But
and we let the national boys and girls take care of that. But we do have an interest in it, of course.
Of course. I mean, what do you have any ideas or thoughts on the defense strategy? I mean, it literally does sound like they're throwing stuff against the wall.
They're doing the old spray and pray. You know, the job of a defense attorney is to make sure that your client does not get convicted. And this is what this attorney Baez is trying to do. He's thrown out other possibilities. I don't know if he's ever going to have any luck with trying to make any of these things stick. As you say, throw it up against the wall and see what stays. But you've had Jesse Grund, and now you got Kronk. You've got other ideas and things that he's floated about, too, with not a whole bunch of proof to back him up. But he's saying things all have to be ferreted out. They have to be looked at thoroughly, and I'm certain that that they will be. I think it's called due diligence. But it also might be a waste of some taxpayers' money. But in the interest of fairness and trying to get to the truth of the matter, I think things have to be examined, at least with the claim that he's making. And wasn't this Kronk fellow, didn't he say that he made two or three calls about this before somebody actually went out and did it? And wasn't he acting rather bizarre when he was asked to make statements live on TV or in front of the media?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. And he was there in August, and the child was found, what, back November, December?
No,
so,
December 11th.
Several attempts.
So.
I think the whole thing's just ludicrous.
Yeah, but every time they try to blame somebody else, they come back when they see that this is going to fail, they come back to the nanny story, saying, well, it was the nanny that took the baby. No.
Well, as aggravating as it is, his job is to make sure that his client does not go to jail or worse.
Right.
Yeah, well.
I think heard that.
I think the annoying thing is that I keep hearing out of the defense team, not just Baez, but the rest of the Seven Dwarfs, you know, about how their client isn't getting a fair shake, you know, with all of this media publicity, and yet it's the defense team that you keep seeing on TV.
Baez was just on Jane Velez Mitchell, I think last night or two nights ago, and they were acting like they were old buds.
Just like Linda.
He was in studio with her.
Just like Linda Baez. she was a Linda Biden was on the Today Show this past week. So I mean, they in right in front of the cameras all the time, but yet they want to blame the media because that's the reason they want to change a venue because she can't get a fair trial. But they're the ones that goes on the air all the time.
Yeah, when was the last time you saw anyone involved in the prosecution on national TV?
They're doing the right thing. They're trying it in court, not in the court of public opinion.
Right.
Right. Okay. Let's move on to the Haley Cummings story. I think, to say the least, it's been a fairly interesting week. Once again, maybe not gobs of hard news, maybe not terribly productive, but nevertheless interesting. TJ, why don't you give us a quick summary of what you think the last week has brought forth?
A lot of ugliness, if you ask me, and a lot of raw nerves, and it wasn't just a few of the peripheral players. It's the people who sometimes participate in discussion boards and things like that on the Haley Cummings disappearance case. And I think a lot of people hit the reset button this week and started really doing some reflecting and some self-examination of perhaps what's going on and how this probably isn't doing much to help find the child. What happened was, and we did this last week, is we examined some of those court documents that were released on a bar complaint against a former attorney for Crystal Sheffield, Kim Picazio. A bar complaint filed by Crystal Sheffield. Picazio was, it was all dismissed. It was dismissed. But in those, there were allegations of some leaks of information, and it went back to a certain blogger. Picazio admitted her role in doing some blogging. She admitted her role in talking to some bloggers. The bar evidently didn't feel that met to any kind of level of not playing nicely, and she keeps her law license. There was nothing wrong with it. It was dismissed. They didn't give her any sanctions or any punishment for what she admitted that she had done. And however, one blogger took great offense to this, and this blogger has been providing me a whole bunch of information with IP addresses and this and that and screenshots. I just have a mountain of digital stuff, and it unfortunately has landed in the hands of this digital dunce. You're talking to a guy who can barely type, okay? I'm in radio, so I don't got to type. So I got to type now because everything goes on the Internet as well as on the air. So I'm looking at all this information that supports her claims that she may have been manipulated by Ms. Picazio. And then there are other things flying about that other people were manipulated into perhaps maybe speaking untruths. These are all claims. These are things that I can't prove and I won't prove, to be quite honest with you, because if you ask me, jump ball. It was adjudicated by the bar. Don't really care. But there are a lot of things that are flying out there with he said, she said, somebody might have said, somebody changed a word here or a word there. But folks, just be prepared that when you get a lot of people together with high emotions in something that touches your heart, like the disappearance of this child, it's easy to run away with the sideshows. It's easy to start picking sides. It's easy to start getting into that mob mentality. And I think we saw some of this, or the appearance of it. And it really got ugly with claims and counterclaims and allegations and encounter allegations, and to be quite honest with you, it doesn't do much in the effort to help find the young girl, but what it did do was kind of give everybody a peek at some of the distractions that have gone along the way that might have hindered this case a bit. That's just an observation, and I'm being as fair and as positive as I can on it, because there's so much of it there that I don't understand the forensic science of these messages, the what do you call an IP address or a hoop-de-doo or a witchy-wadgy or a Googler or whatever. It's beyond my pay grade. But there are also things that have come out, too. I also interviewed William Cobra Stobbs, one of our panelists today, and I just gave him basically 70 minutes to open up his mind. And, you know, all I have to do is ask Cobra one question. That boy can answer it and then some.
But there is no truth that you actually fell asleep in the control room while he was ranting.
Actually, I was taking phone calls from that blogger in question, and I had one ear on the interview and the other ear on that person, and then another ear on the police who were calling in about something that had happened in the Gainesville area. And, you know, I was multitasking, but got a lot done.
Right. Okay, there was some news that, well, may not even be news, because we don't have any confirmation about it, that there was something that went on last night concerning Ron and some other person in Satsuma.
Repeat that again. My phone jiggled just a little bit.
Oh, okay. There were some emails floating around earlier this morning.
Yes.
Concerning some scanner traffic from the police
yes.
bands last night, or rather early this morning, concerning Ronald Cummings and, I'm guessing, a neighbor.
Yeah, I received that, too. I also received information that there's some problems with IP addresses and that... some of this, you know, it needs to be thoroughly checked with, and I've put this across to more than one person in authority at the Putnam County Sheriff's Office to see if there was anything to this alleged scanner traffic. The scanner traffic, I don't feel good repeating it at this point, because when you get something on an email and the email address is suspect and the IP is suspect, you don't really want to run with it and go broadcasting things until you can get it all figured out. But once again, it was an email that was a bit talked about a dust up between possibly Mr. Cummings and another person.
Right. Okay, and of course, the other thing that happened this week is Tommy and the DVDs.
Oh, good God, yes. Tommy Croslin goes back to the slammer. They finally got $50 together to get him out on his $504 bond for domestic battery, or battery, I should say. It seems he and his father, Hank Sr., got into a bit of a scuffle, maybe a wrestling match for all we know, because nobody wanted to sign a complaint. Nobody wanted to give a sworn testimony. All everyone did who were in the realm of the folks, the police, when they got there, basically said that an argument ensued, and Tommy got popped in the eye, got a big old shiner, looks like, from his jail picture. And he allegedly hit Hank in the head with some DVDs. We don't know what it was over. No one will say what it was about, but I guess Tommy was a bit argumentative the whole way, trying to get it stirred up, even when law enforcement had been on the scene. Well, who else was on the scene? Well, Lisa Croslin, who was out on bond for uttering a false instrument, which is basically an accusation of forgery to the tune of $400 off supposedly stolen checks from a blind man. Tommy... out on bond for theft of a gun from a blind man, same one, same day. Also, he had a little bit of run into the law with drugs found in his car and maybe some paraphernalia, or equipment as they call it, near the bus stop where he let his child off, and here he is, passed out in his car. Said the drugs weren't his, but couldn't account for how they got in the front seat of his car. So, you know, he's got a world of problems. You know, he's got more troubles than a monkey on a rock right about now. Let's see. Oh, yes. Nene Pravat just happened to be there at 8 the hell o'clock in the morning at that trailer. Now, Nene Pravat is someone that Mr. Stobbs and I know from a couple of different instances. One, she was allegedly the chauffeur in the party gate, which was that party that took place the weekend prior to Haley's disappearance. Allegedly hooked up Misty with one Greg Page for a weekend of coziness and drugs. And she has since been in and out of the Putnam County Jail on some misdemeanor charges, some drug charges. I think one may have been a retail theft. I think she had to go wear a sign that said, "Yes, I stole from this store." Some sandwich bar. They got some strange justice over there. She was there, a white female, age 17, who said, "I don't think my dad." And wait a minute, they can't now. They can't say her name. It's redacted. But I'm thinking that it's probably Misty.
Well, let's put it this way. It does give her date of birth and
it's hers.
Where she's living.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a huge leap of faith to figure out that it must be Misty.
No, it didn't take one at all. And they didn't completely redact the name very well either on the police report. So, you know, you got the big M and the little Y was pretty much well seen.
Why did they redact it all?
Because she's 17 and under the age of 18. And
she's emancipated, my friend. She's married.
That's cool.
Bill, in the eyes of the law, 18 is it. You got, if you're under 18 and you're involved, it's redacted. They probably did that under caution. It's better to go forth with something that you don't have to say you're sorry you said.
Well, somebody needs to keep it straight, okay? Because that don't even make no sense, everybody.
18, you're an adult. You can't go, look, Bill, if you're an emancipated teenager, you can't say I'm an emancipated teenager at 17 and go drinking.
I'm not commenting.
Because you know what I'm saying?
Commenting on the second part of your statement, my friend.
About what?
With the second part of your statement. Not about the emancipation. I'm commenting about, well, they'd rather err on the side of, you know.
Why open yourself to litigation?
Yes. And
why open yourself to litigation?
No. The point I was trying to make, TJ, is
if
they're willing to be cautious in that little situation there, why wouldn't they be cautious in other bigger situations, I'm saying?
Well, I think you might have to get more specific on that because they don't talk a whole bunch to anybody, as we all know.
True.
Right. They definitely are not the most talkative bunch. Cobra, the police report is timed at 8 o'clock or shortly thereafter. I mean, it seems to me that this isn't a family that, you know, likes to get up with the chickens and go jogging.
You're
What on earth were they all doing there at 8 o'clock in the morning?
And fighting that early in the morning. You think they'd been to bed yet? You know, people get up in the morning. You think people got up that early in the morning to start messing with some DVDs? I mean, when I get up, if I woke up at 8 o'clock in the morning, I don't think I'd be wanting to throw DVDs around the room, but it kind of leads me to believe that maybe they had an all-nighter.
Yeah, they're playing Frisbee with them, using them for coasters. Who knows?
I believe the complaint actually states that it was a bag of DVDs. They don't tend to fly like Frisbees.
Mm-hmm. If you follow all the stuff with the drugs, the alleged drugs, and all the stuff that's going on, I mean, this is too damn early in the morning for Nene and all of them to be there and have this fight breaking out at 8 a.m. It seems like it was an all-nighter or something that kicked off before then. I mean, they just wake up and get in the fight. So there's more to it, and I think down the road we'll find out more to it.
Let's hope so. We've had a caller waiting on the line for quite some time. Let's bring the caller on. Caller from the 931 area code, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hey, Simon, it's Levi.
Oh, Levi. Sorry, I didn't recognize your number. You've been listening into this nonsense. What do you make of the DVD story?
Well, it's just another day in the Crossland household, and wonder why Misty is not telling anybody what happened. Who is she going to tell? Is she going to tell her family, who's involved in drugs? They're beating the hell out of each other. They're doing drugs. And are she going to tell Ronald's family or Ronald, who threatened to kill her, threatened to kill himself, put a gun to his mouth, that he was going to kill other people? They're doing drugs. So who is she going to tell? She has nobody to turn to. And I think that it's very disturbing. And that's probably why police haven't solved this, because of all the strange people involved in their actions.
The other thing that we were talking about earlier on was the release of the Kim Picazio bar complaint file. Have you read that at all?
Some of it.
Some of it. Any comments? Any ideas?
Well, I think that it's unfortunate that some of these bloggers get involved in this case, and they like to insert themselves into cases and all. I think that it gets involved in what the police want to do, and I think the media to some extent does that. You know, they're flying them to New York, they're giving interviews, when the police could have simply handled this. They could have got one of these people involved, a drug dealer, got them, charged them, gave them a wiretap, and they could have solved this case. But how are they going to solve it now when all of this crap is going on?
Yeah, I think you have a good point there. Denny, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah. First, let me say hi to Levi. Levi, Denny Griffin, how are you?
I'm great, Denny. How are you?
Well, good. Can't complain. I think I've thought quite a bit that perhaps to some degree some of the media involvement may have hurt. There's some reporting obviously needed to be done and needs to be done. On the other hand, if whenever you get into the frenzy mode, when that's happened a couple or three times during the disappearance, I think sometimes that can go too far and maybe cause some damage.
I'll tell you something new came out this week that I don't know that it's mainstream yet because we haven't confirmed any of it, but you notice how little kids like to play with these little fake tattoos, and they put little tattoos on and they run around with little fake tattoos. Y'all familiar with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it's like being in the Navy for a week.
Yeah, oh yeah. Why'd you bring up the Navy?
Anyway. Because you guys always got the cool tattoos.
Yeah, right? Check this out. It's been alleged by someone that Mrs. Sykes has morphine patches, and that it's very possible that this little kid thought that they were them little rub-on tattoos and stuck a bunch of these morphine patches on and, of course, had an overdose on morphine. This came out when, allegedly, Mrs. Sykes was in, allegedly, Las Vegas, Nevada, not too long ago, where her room was comped, her limo was comped, and she spent some time out there. Now, I didn't know Mrs. Sykes went out to Vegas and did all this, and I didn't know that she was on any type of morphine patches or that they had any morphine patches. But when I heard it, I just want to know, did you guys hear anything about the possibility of this child sticking on some morphine patches and dying, and then Mrs. Neves and Mrs. Sykes and everybody else kind of ran to everybody's rescue and kind of, you know, got all this media hype going the wrong direction.
First I've heard of it, Bill. It's the first I've ever heard of it.
Okay. Simon?
Yeah, I heard about this week, and I have to admit that I have not yet followed up with the Vegas connection.
Right.
It is interesting, though.
Funny, when you go to Vegas, what you find out in Vegas, you know, everything that happens in Vegas does not end up at Vegas bail, but it does sometimes not stay in Vegas.
Yeah. Hey, Denny, when are you heading home?
I'm leaving next Sunday. I'll be back in Vegas on the 3rd of December.
Ooh. Okay. Well, maybe Denny can follow up the Vegas end of
Vegas connection.
Hey, Denny, one of your I don't know if he's a friend of yours, but a Mr. Joseph Moosen. You can look him up, Joseph Moosen in Florida. He allegedly got busted on some dope charges out of Hudson, Florida, and fled and went, I guess, Georgia, Ohio, Illinois. And I flew last Friday to your state out there, Vegas. And Monday night, I found him in one of his friend's places, and his bondsman arrested him. I found him, bondsman arrested him, and then we all escorted him back to Tampa, where he's back in jail. Allegedly, he was one of Florida's, if not Florida's, Pasco County's most wanted fugitives. And we wrapped that up, and I was trying to look you up while I was out there, but I didn't know you. I didn't know you was on a cruise running around the world.
And actually, that story that Cobra has just told is absolutely true. I spoke to the U.S. Marshal that Cobra handed the guy over to when they arrived in Tampa.
Which was a surprise. We didn't know the U.S. Marshal was going to be there. Our mission was to take him to Pasco County Jail, which Pasco County agreed to meet me at the airport, and they didn't. because apparently they dropped their warrants for him under the double jeopardy rule, and the U.S. Marshals took it over, and of course that pissed off the bondsmen, because now they got to go to court and motion off the bond, and consequently I don't get paid till all that happens, but that's what you get when you try to call in Crime Stoppers and see if there's any reward money, which was not my idea either, but I was the fall guy and all that, but nobody seems to give me the credit that I'm the guy who found these dumbass, and now we're just all sitting back waiting for our money.
I can't remember the marshal's name, but
Mr. Ron.
He was very happy that the fugitive was captured, and I did ask him why they didn't transport him to Pasco County, and he said it had become a federal issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Pasco really had no reason to have him.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I wish the bondsman that was with me would know that, because they pissed off, because now they got to go back through the system to get off the bond, and I wish they'd have found out about it, because now they got my money tied up. But nonetheless, Mr. Joseph Moosen won't be handing no guns to nobody to kill witnesses no more for a minute.
Right, yeah. I think guns are frowned upon in the penal system.
Yeah.
Unless you're wearing a uniform.
Quite an interesting chap, I'll tell you that. Denny, I interviewed him for 7 hours. I didn't have nothing to do because of planes, you know, getting back and forth across the country. It's still rock age. You got to still wait and the time delay and everything. But, Denny, that would be an interesting individual if you ever get an opportunity to interview him. He's very, very interesting and very... He's the kind of guy that'll show up at your house and get you if you ain't careful.
Perfect. All right, we do have a caller on the line. Let's take this call from area code 541. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, this is Elizabeth. I was calling for a couple of things. Cobra, I wanted to, I like left a few messages with you for you to call me back, and then you didn't. And
you have my phone number?
Yeah.
Well, I was traveling, honey, so I apologize for that.
No, that's fine. Which, yeah, I figured that out after listening to the last radio show that you apparently were in Las Vegas or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I totally understand. And I understand, too, everything you're going through is really hard on you, and probably right now isn't a good time to call you about Haley.
It's quite all right. Put it on there, baby. That's what we're here for. We're trying to find out who killed this little girl.
Right. So I also want to ask TJ,
heard
anything about the tip that was turned in to you and you turned it over to the FBI?
Which one, honey?
The possible sighting.
No sighting. This was
in Indiana.
No, ma'am. Nope. I didn't turn over any tips. Anybody calls me...
No, TJ did.
Oh, sorry.
I turn everything over to LA, different strata of LA. They get it all the way up.
So have you heard anything back on that yet?
No, I haven't. And by the way, until a body is produced, LA is looking for a live child.
Right.
Right, which that's what the tip is, a live child.
Yes.
Juicing at the store.
I saw three different emails come in with the same material, and all three went to different levels of law enforcement.
Okay, good. Hopefully they can
alive,
for a
and
video.
Up their ass, because a lot of us have been through excruciating pain over this, so if the child is alive, it ain't going to be a good day. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I understand. I do. It's insane, everything between the families, the fighting on the internet sites. Twitter is just hilarious at times, and nobody's really looking.
For me, I didn't know who it was for. Are you specific with one? I mean, you were calling me. I hope that's what you not call me about that, because I don't know anything about that, but what do you got?
I was calling you about that, about which I ended up sending off an email to TJ about it. I got a tip through my mail at MySpace, and it was a sighting, and the little girl was Haley was, she believes it was Haley, and she was at the grocery store, and I guess the man and woman that she was with were acting a little odd. The guy put the wife in front of her so that she couldn't really look at the girl who was in the cart, much too old to be in a cart.
Mm.
And then when they went to leave the store, she told her husband about it, and then, but she didn't, like, take a picture, or I don't even think.
I find all those things very hard to believe, that a child would be missing like this, and this much attention on a child, somebody be out grocery shopping with the kid.
Well, yeah, it is kind of hard to think that, but if, you know, if they figured that, well, nobody's really looking in Indiana, so it would be okay.
Every Walmart, Kmart, Walgreens, everything I've seen across the country, including Vegas, everywhere, has a picture of little Haley on the wall. And I doubt it very, very seriously that somebody would be ballsy enough to do that. But, you know, it's the same thing in the Haley case. They had sightings all over the place, but they only needed to look a few hundred yards north of the house, and that's where she was really last seen and found.
Right. I know you think she's dead and
mm-hmm.
and everything, but
my opinion, I
just
mean,
hope that your opinion doesn't
sway
you from not looking if there is a sight or something. I mean,
yeah, I
like
looked,
if somebody called you and said there's a sighting, and are you on the ground to go look at that, or
negative.
Are you just kind of out of it now?
May 21st, I come off the ground when they issued a warrant for my arrest. May 22nd, I turned myself in. May 24th, I was officially off the Haley case. The only thing I've done is handled the hot mail, the rumor mail, and all that stuff. And I'm convinced, until somebody proves me wrong, this child is deceased, and we need to look back at the family members again.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Oh, and one other question. You're back friends with Kim Picazio.
I was never not a friend of Kim Picazio.
Okay. So you guys had a spat, and you
that happens when, I see, in case you weren't listening to prior programs on this Kim Picazio issue, I enticed Kim Picazio to come into town because there's another child we've forgotten about named Butterbean. And when
right.
one child comes up missing, we don't know if it's something going on to another child come up missing, and I enticed Kim to come to town to provide any legal counsel she could to remove a child from harm's way, since nobody could explain how come Haley come up missing. They still can't. And at that time, I did not think far enough down the road to wonder what would happen if she became a legal aid to one of these folks. And then my investigation embroiled in hers, and I still support Kim Picazio. I mean, we fought like cats and dogs. Some of it became out there in the media. But the bottom line is Kim Picazio did her job. I did my job. But the two jobs are definitely conflicting of each other for the simple reason, as the attorney or whatever she was representing, Crystal, her job was to defend her client. Now, how would you like to be defended by a lawyer and then I come get on your ass and your attorney did nothing because we're friends? If she had done that, she should have lost her license. She did not do that, so therefore I'm in favor of the outcome.
Right.
I think basically you just agreed to disagree.
Yeah.
Who you talk to, Simon?
Well, I guess that covers everything. Thank
okay,
you.
Well, thank you for calling.
Was that response to me, Simon, or to her?
That was to you, Cobra.
No, I didn't agree to disagree. I did this. I fought for little Haley as hard as I could to any member of the family to make a shit to me. And I was pissed off at Kim because I thought that our friendship should have given me more. And then when I really got down to it and looked at it and looked at the law and looked at what she really had to stand for, Simon, Kim was right. I mean, she defended her client, tooth and nail. And I defended Haley tooth and nail. So anytime you got two opposing sides like that, it's going to be a clash. But bottom line, legally, it's right. It was a righteous move she did.
So do you guys think that the case is going to start looking at the Sheffield side now?
Who knows? I mean, you know, anything checks out on this latest tip or nonsense or whatever it was that was called in about sites and the morphine patches and the association to tattoos and that kind of stuff, I mean, that sounded pretty damn good to me. It seemed like a follow-up needed to be done there. And you have to understand one thing that just dawned on me as well this past 2 weeks, is by the time we got there a month later, to the exact day a month later, most of the morning, and I have a friend, a good friend of mine, on life support right now, and there's been a lot of mourning because, you know, unfortunately, she's dead. I mean, she's dead, but she's on life support. So when the life support goes away, it's a done deal. But the mourning that's been going on, they mourned for a whole month. So most of their mourning by the time we got there was over with. So that's why all the emotions were running sideways, and it looked like nobody gave a shit because everybody, especially people involved in it, had already mourned themselves out by the time we got there. So that's why the emotions were, you know, kind of puzzling to us. So I kind of see things a little differently now. But it was no stranger abduction, is what the police said, and I think they ought to stay with it hard and go back at it again. You know, that's their job. I'm done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I want to change the tone up to something slightly happier. We had Sam Watkins on the program last week, and I had the opportunity to talk to him again earlier in the week, and in fact, about an hour ago, I also had a very quick chat with him, and I'm very glad to say that even though, you know, the Haley benefit concert that he put on turned out to be an absolute bust, he has not lost his enthusiasm for the search for Haley, and more particularly the idea of raising awareness for missing children. I do believe he's planning on coming out with some sort of press release. So, Sam, if you're listening, and I'm pretty certain you are, you know, make sure you put us on the distribution list. The other thing that he said to me, and I'll point this at you, TJ, it doesn't have to be about Haley, but he and his band would be prepared to come to Florida and put on some sort of benefit concert.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Yep.
2,000 of them down here need his help.
Right. I mean, you know, we can talk about this offline, you know, tomorrow or whenever. But, you know, I'd like to elicit your help. I'm sure you know some people that we could put Sam in touch with, and we can carry on being reporters, and we'll let.
Yeah, I prefer to be a reporter, but I can probably make some introductions. I have no desire to be anywhere where money is touched or exchanging hands in a situation like this. But I can make some introductions, and I'll have to leave it at that.
Oh, that would be great, and I will let Sam know. Okay, let's go back to this file that was released last Monday. I think in total there was something like 100 pages of it,
mm-hmm.
and lots of it was fairly illuminating, and some of it kind of caught my attention. Number one, crystal and drug use. All right, this has been a contentious issue. Does she, doesn't she? The file seems to categorically state she does, and yet just a few weeks before Ms. Picazio actually came on this station and proclaimed that, oh, no, she doesn't. She has a clean bill of health. You know, first thing the cops, well, the first thing that the medical folks did was check her for drugs. I mean, drug addiction doesn't tend to be something that occurs overnight. Even more disturbing, I have heard that there was a toxicology report from
the when she gave birth that showed she had drugs in her system. You know, do you have any ideas about this drug thing?
Who's the question to?
Anyone.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. I've seen her. So I don't have any questions. And when I went to Kim with it, I mean, she went to her client, and her client said no. So if I tell my lawyer no, then he's supposed to represent me. No is the answer. So, you know, then it later is found out when she became in an adversarial situation against her lawyer that some of these things were found out, and then I received my apology that I was telling the truth and I was on the right topic. But, you know, she said no because her client said no, you know, period. It's pretty easy.
Mm. I've got some questions coming in from the chat room, and I think they're easy to answer. They want to know why they're just now hearing about Cobra paying Art Harris.
Mm.
Why were they led to believe he was unbiased? I don't believe that we're just now hearing it. It's my opinion that this was common knowledge for months. I know people don't want to touch this subject, but I heard this information literally months and months ago. So no, it's not new information. So I hope that answers the question. Presumably, Cobra, you don't have anything more to add to that?
You know, it's been enough fighting and brawling about, I mean, this to me reminds me of when my buddies did the Watergate investigation, and I hear Watergate and Floodgate and Truthgate and Floodgate and Fingerprint Gate and all these damn gates, and I wonder if one of them opens up to show us where Haley's at, period and simple.
Okay, the other thing that came out of the file was allegations of Marie Griffiths being just a little bit of a, I think the term media whore comes to mind. Have you seen any evidence of that, TJ?
Media whore?
Yeah.
That's not nice, y'all.
Hmm. You know, you hear things, and this whole thing with the name calling business, I'm just going to pass on it for right now.
I do believe that's what you
I think I summed it up for you when I said, you know, you go to the Humane Society and you pick up a dog that's suffering, nobody wanted the little rascal, and you bring him home and you pet him and you put him in a better place, and the little bastard bites your kids. That's kind of what happened. It's like everybody extended their hand to help folks, and if something didn't go just right, those ones who extended their hand to help folks got it bit. I mean, just attacked it. So I'd like to give thanks this Thanksgiving for all those who have unselfishly given to others, and maybe it wasn't received all that well, but there's a lot of folks out there besides myself that have given unselfishly and have been attacked for it, you know, so.
And actually, one of the things that I found interesting in the complaint file was the large number of emails that were contained. It makes you wonder sometimes about the whole subject of using email, you know, and what perceived privacy you might have. In fact, I found this out to my cost yesterday. One email that I shared actually bounced back to me within under an hour from a totally unrelated source.
Mm.
It had actually done the rounds of two people that were mentioned in this confidential email. I mean, it's amazing how it happens. Has that ever happened to you, Levi?
What?
You send someone a confidential email, and they forward it on to the people that are mentioned within the email?
No.
No, it's never happened to you?
No.
No? No?
Better watch out for those investigators, Levi.
What?
Gotta watch out for those private investigators that are lurking around out there, my friend.
TJ, you've obviously suffered from this problem.
Yeah, I'm going through it today, right now, just a couple seconds ago.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that's listening, if you know, if you think that email is private, it absolutely is not.
It's not. That's that new stuff we got, baby. That's that new stuff. You can intercept anybody if you know their name.
Right.
Thank you, Levi.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Denny, you've been very quiet again.
Yes.
Tell us what's on your mind. You always have something.
I was just thinking about emails, and I sent an email that I thought was confidential, at least in my mind it was, and it had to do with some mobsters, and I know that mobsters, the ones I know anyway, are former mobsters, I should say, are some from the old school, the Omerta school, have no use for people who turn government witnesses. And the email I sent to what I thought was a confidential source ended up going to another person who didn't like to hear who I was associating with. And, boy, did that open up a can of worms for me. It took me a long time to get straightened out. So I learned a good lesson about emails. I'm very cautious now. I thought I was cautious before, but I'm more cautious.
I didn't do that one, Denny.
I know, but I learned a good lesson, a valuable lesson. So emails, you go into emailing thinking that whatever you say is going to stay confidential, it's at your own peril.
If someone knows your name, Denny, and someone knows your email address, it is very easy to intercept that email once you send it to someone else confidentially. It's so easy, it blow your mind. Isn't that right, Levi?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's move on here before we turn this into an internet, security program.
Why don't you just jump on out there, Simon?
TJ.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is happening to find Haley. There's lots of lovely sideshows. I mean, I've had a great week reading all sorts of absolute nonsense. But what are people doing to actually find the little girl?
Well, some are trying to, from what I understand, raise some money to get some kind of a psychic or a profiler type person to come down into the area. I'm not so sure of the credentials of the people I've been hearing about that wish to come here, but they sure got their hand out and they'd sure like to pass the basket around to get here in order to make some kind of feeling or some kind of premonition public. So I've been seeing that. There are other people who claim that they've been out physically searching, not hearing too much about what they have produced, if anything. It seems to be a ragtag bunch of folks, and if they do have a point person, they're not revealing a whole bunch to anybody except for maybe law enforcement, if they're even doing that. As far as law enforcement is concerned, with every inquiry, they say, they're reviewing everything, and that the majority of the tips coming in right now, and it's slowed down considerably, have been either, alleged sightings from out of state, or they have been psychics or folks who believe they have a special gift. But the odd thing is that none of the psychics or folks with this special gift seem to be, triangulating on the same spot. It's all over the place. So, you know, they're treating every tip with the courtesy that it deserves, but they've got thousands of them to go through. What I've also been hearing is that they've been going through everything from day one, looking at over and over again to see if something wasn't missed from the get-go. So, you know, they're doing what they can. They're keeping the cards close to the vest once again. And unfortunately, about the only thing to really report on is, unfortunately, the sideshow activity. If the intent was to put the pressure on Misty and her family, that pressure has been applied, and things are unfortunately happening, but they're not, you know, bringing forth a whole lot of fruit into this investigation. It's just basically, you know, folks going in and out of jail. I think Cobra had mentioned this a time or two, a plumbing statement that, you know, pressure breaks pipes. You got to get the right pipe. So I hope I didn't misquote my co-panelist here on that.
Sounds close enough, brother.
close enough for Sunday, huh?
Okay.
TJ, can I ask you a question, TJ?
Yes, sir, Denny.
You mentioned tips that law enforcement is working. Do you have any feel or any knowledge of what the amount of tips received is? Now, I'm assuming it's tapered off, perhaps, since the original disappearance, or maybe it hasn't. Do you know?
Yeah, it has. It has. It's down to, you know, not necessarily a trickle, because, you know, I see a lot of these. I pass them on to, of course, you know, Haley@PutnamSheriff.org. Then there are other folks who go, oh, my God, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So some actually get sent to people I know in the different agencies. Hopefully that'll get some attention as well. But I do see them. They range from the plausible to the outlandish to what the hell planet are you on. But I tell you what, these investigators got their work cut out for them trying to triage these tips and work through them. But it's nowhere near the way it was the first 2 months or 3 months that the child disappeared.
Have we heard anything about Ron's investigator, his private investigator that he hired?
I haven't heard much about that at all, other than, you know, the initial she's been hired, and other than that, I've not heard much at all on that.
Okay, I'm bill for that.
Well, seems like it's not going to be much help. I mean, we know what the investigator is going to be doing. The only thing the investigator is going to be doing is looking at Crystal Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be looking at Ronald or any independent investigator. I think they need to bring someone independent in.
Well, isn't that what the police are for?
Psychic.
Right. Okay, I'm going to interject a question that I did get a bit of a chuckle out of. It's coming in from our chat room. Was Geraldo involved in getting Cobra, Art, and Kim involved? And if so, what did he do?
I can tell you right now, he did not get me involved. I brought Art and I brought Kim. So, and I did that at the direction, at the request of Pastor Grun, who did it at the request of Wayne Kruger, who did it at the request of Sheffield.
Okay, I just threw that in for fun. Let's take some calls. We have someone coming in from the 563 area code. What's your name, and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, this is Kim from Iowa. I have a question about Tim Miller. Is he coming back to search?
That's a very good question.
Depends on who you ask and when you asked it, because
exactly.
I've heard two different versions and nothing confirmed.
Every time you turn around, he's got a different answer anyway. One time you talk to him, he says he is. Next time, he says he isn't. So.
And then I heard that Gail St. John was coming down.
That's one of the people I've been told wants to come down. I think it was on BlipTV.net or something like that.
Yeah.
And I believe if I watched it, it was difficult to hear. The sound quality wasn't the greatest on my machine, But it appeared that she wants to come down, but she's having trouble raising funds in order to do it.
Oh. Okay, and then just one more question. Will there be a show next Sunday with it being Thanksgiving?
There's always a show. I don't know
okay.
what we'll be doing, but yes, of course.
We got a turkey
show.
Roast.
Right.
Okay, well, everyone have a nice Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too.
To you.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay.
Just one today, Simon.
Let's take another call. We have someone coming in from the 703 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, my name is Amber, and I'm calling with a question for Cobra.
Oh, how you doing, Union?
I'm doing good, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for Cobra. A lot of people sent you money with the bank account that you had set up.
Mm-hmm.
How much money was collected and how was it used?
It was exactly $1,800 from all the radio show and the bank accounts and everything else, and we kept complete records of it, $1,800. Two of my friends gave me $1,000. One of Art's viewers gave $1,000. Most folks were on the $50 line. There was another PayPal account set up for Timmy, and we allowed him to keep all the funds. And you'd have to ask him what he did with that side of the money. And that was that, $1,800.
And how was it used?
How was it used? It was used to buy gas and hotel rooms. I held my hotel rooms alone, and what my stay up there was probably $4,200 or better. I'd have to check on exactly, but in no way, shape, or form did anybody even get close. They paid the tax, if that, on the money that I spent.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking my call, and you all have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for what you do for Haley.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, let's bring on another caller. We have some.
I'd gladly give them the money back if they'd give me my money back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
It'd be a damn good trade.
Let's take another caller. We have someone coming in from the 541 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
It's Elizabeth again. I have a question for Cobra.
Mm.
You interviewed I think the daughter of Snodgrass.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then Snodgrass's wife had gone crazy and went into the hospital and stuff, saying that she had witnessed children being slaughtered, and then you found
friend.
The shed and everything.
Yeah, his first wife was, they said that she was autistic, and that was his wife.
No, his second wife.
The second, that's a girlfriend only. She wasn't ever married. It was together 9 years. Yeah, it wasn't that I went and interviewed her. She had called me. Misty Saunders called me after me and Snodgrass had our go-round. She wanted me to go back out there and put his butt back in jail, and I told her she had called police on that one because I was backing off of it. I interviewed her for about 2 hours. She definitely has power and attorney at that time she did over Snodgrass,
right.
And, I didn't grant her that for the simple reason the police and everybody else was at me. But she did go and get off the bond herself.
Okay.
Well,
my question about that is when you were out there, you had asked the police to do a more thorough job on swabbing and checking out that splatter and
this was at her
with animal blood.
This was at Misty. Well, we didn't know what kind of blood it was. This was Misty Saunders' request to me, and I passed her request on to law enforcement as her buffer, and I did that. I did everything she requested of me to do, and that's.
Did they get back with you to find out, to tell you that it was animal blood or human blood?
No, ma'am. It was such a touchy situation anyway, based on everything else that was going on. And I got myself in harm's way on that one, so
right.
I'm not even interested in going down that road. But that's
okay.
Strictly
one more question about. Okay, she kind of gave you a tour of the area, and you spoke about that she had taken locks off the shed, and I was curious. Her property. Do you know if there's a cemetery connected to that property?
I didn't see any cemetery. There's a lot of stuff buried on that property and her emissions, like horses and stuff like that. But as far as a cemetery, it's 10 acres of land, roughly flat. There's a house there. She wanted the house luminaled, and she wanted the ground searched with canines, and she showed us where the old prior animals were buried, and she said that that gentleman had been there the morning that Haley disappeared at 6 a.m. demanding a shed or something another about a shed. And, you know, and I went down there just as I would anybody else and tried to, you know, make sense of the whole thing, and I passed all of it on to law enforcement and dropped it right there.
So did they follow up on luminoling the place or bringing in scent dogs to see if Haley had ever been there?
To my knowledge, and I could be wrong, but I would say no, ma'am.
Hmm.
I think, you know, law enforcement has to make some judgment calls.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, but I mean, like, what if, I guess, is the big question. What if, you know, I mean, this is the second woman in that man's life that went crazy, and, you know, he could have been feeding her drugs or something, or maybe she actually did see something that made her go over the edge and stuff. I really wish that the law enforcement would, or somebody would check out that property, you know, and luminol the house, see if there is a crime scene in the home.
It won't be me, I guarantee you that.
I can pretty much guarantee that law enforcement is listening to this show.
Shit,
so.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, listen, you guys, I had nothing to do with that shit.
Okay, well, I wanted to bring it up because I am hoping somebody somewhere, the law enforcement, FBI, somebody from out of state, or, you know, maybe somebody, a personal person that can get, you know, that kind of equipment or dogs or something and, you know, work with the family to get the scent of Haley and see if she'd ever been there.
It doesn't work like that, but I understand what you're saying, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, guys.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Damn, Simon, you need to qualify them first, man. Shit, they're going to get me, you're going to get my ass thrown up underneath my nose.
there's no more room under the bus.
Shit. The subject, we kind of just move on away from that.
Okay, let's take another caller. we have someone coming in from the 309 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
See ya.
Hello, 309. Whoops. Ah, we lost 309. I guess they got cold feet. TJ, one of the things that you mentioned earlier on was that a lot of the tips concern psychics and profilers.
Yeah, or self-professed profilers. I've not seen much on the way of you know, qualified FBI types that have crossed my transom yet.
The best
right.
in the business is Dale Hinman. If you can get her over there, buddy, figure it out.
That's what I've been told.
Oh, for a fact. She's the best in the business.
Well, I would argue that fact. I think I know the best in the business.
What's
but,
name?
But I, you know, the FBI are involved in the case, or at least I believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually. I'd be surprised if they haven't had a profiler involved.
I don't know, brother.
Yeah, that's one of those close-held hands.
Right, but I mean, you know, to me, it after a couple of weeks, nothing has turned up. You know, then let's start using the bag of tricks and. Profilers are amazingly good.
Hey,
Simon, do they use profilers in a missing person case, or do they wait until a body is found, or what?
No, they both ways. But I just had a great idea. Why don't we hire some of the family members to become profilers?
Actually, you're right. Profilers do it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, they're actually after live people.
Certainly, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, springs to mind. And if you read the profile that Kathleen Puckett put up, I mean, it was right on the money.
Down to the
You know, read the profile, look at Ted Kaczynski, and you go, oh, man, she must have talked to him first.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought.
Where is this case headed? Because I'm seeing it headed towards that awful cold case status.
It's headed, Simon, exactly where it was on March 11th when I was in town. It was cold then, it's colder now, and I don't know if it's ever going to warm up. And that's exactly where it is. And that's, everybody be pissed off at me if they want to, and the sideshows and everything else, but it's right back to March 11th. And it's going to take somebody else like me to go back in, do it again, pay the press to come because they ain't interested. They're moving on to other stuff, like these crazy cases going on now with the child being handed over for dope and then found side the road someplace. I mean, Jesus, why couldn't they make this one simple, you know, if they was going to do all this nonsense? So it's the same place that it was, probably even colder. I haven't seen anything to spark anything to make it go any hotter any direction. So I'm afraid this is one of those ones, unless God moves on somebody's heart or something's revealed that's not known, that it's just going to remain the same. We'll probably be here 20-some years from now talking about the same shit. Wonder what ever happened to Haley.
Unfortunately, this is a local story for me, so you know, I get paid whether I cover it or not, so I'm still going to be covering it until it doesn't need to be covered anymore, just kind of speaking as one person from the press. I think Larry Sullivan and maybe Kristen Chambers and maybe a few folks from the First Coast News, WESH 2, and News Jax 4 might be the only ones that are there, and Matt Saffer be the only ones covering this damn thing 20 years from now. About four or five of us, we live here, so we do have to cover it. But the national folks, I don't see them coming back for a while.
No, they're not going to come back, and they weren't coming back March 11th, brother man. And you know, it took some balls on some of my people's side to jump up there and do what we did, and we got it going this far. And, you know, I would have been a betting man. I would have bet it had been a sob by now with all the stuff we brought forward. But now I don't foresee any national business going on. Maybe a look back and what happened last year. Maybe around February they may, on the anniversary, 1 year anniversary, they may pop a little story off. But as far as the intensity, I think everybody got what they wanted. Everybody go the hell home and let us just bury our own, you know, kind of thing.
Hey, TJ, you missed one name. Well, actually, two names.
Well, Simon, yeah, but you are national. Simon and Jan.
Simon and Jan Barrett.
Simon and Jan, I beg your apologies there. I'm sorry.
All right, we are not giving this story up until there is a resolution, an end. Yes,
and I got to tell you, I must compliment bloggernews.net for being on this early and sticking through it to keep the child's name out there for as long as you have, even when there were times pretty much like this where the activity level is very, very low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry too, Simon, because you definitely is one of the few folks, and I don't know that anybody's sent you a pot of gold or anything else, so your motives are, in my opinion, true and honest.
Levi, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
The case is definitely going cold, well, at least cool. What do you think needs to happen to get this moving again? Is there anything that we in the press can do? Levi, you're breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Answer, because what can the press do to help law enforcement? You know, it's been in the national media. You've covered it week after week after week since this case happened. You've been on it from the very beginning, pounding the drum to bring her home. I think that's a hard question to answer, because this is a case like no other case that I've ever covered or followed, because of the people that are involved here. They're so strange. I've never seen a case like it.
I think strange
Strange doesn't even...
No, there's some new words we just ain't figured out if Webster's going to put them out there yet.
Simon.
Yes.
Can I ask Levi a question?
Certainly.
Yes. Levi,
yes.
you do shows on Blog Talk, and I was just wondering, when you're addressing the Haley case, what do you find in the way of interest? Is there a lot of interest? And the second part of my question is
yes.
do your listeners, what do they think? I mean, I'm sure you get opinions. Do they think Haley is still alive? Do they have a theory on who took her? Or what are you hearing?
Well, I think it's mixed. I think that it's down both ways. I mean, you can look in the chat room on BNN and Cobra when he said that he stated that he thought dead, you know, like hound dogs on him, angry that he said that. But statistically speaking, Cobra's right, and I know that everybody wants to think she's alive, and that's great, and I hope she is. But
oh, me, brother,
with
me
this
too.
Long being this long gone, you know, you got to be a realist.
That's right. There you go. He ain't so bad after all, Simon.
Cobra just doesn't like new people.
No, I've always been a realist all my life, and you know, I don't share that with a lot of people, but you got to be a realist. And
yeah.
I have the terminology for realist, and you're going to see my picture right there.
And they say that after 48 hours and a missing person, that the police are no longer looking for a live child. They're a dead one after 48 hours, and this is almost coming up on a year.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, it is so sad. I mean, let's take another call. We have someone coming in from the 703 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, this is Amber again. I have a question for everyone on the panel about bloggers.
Yeah.
What can we do to help this case stay in the spotlight? I mean, besides praying, which I know we all do,
mm-hmm.
What can we do that is not detrimental to the case?
I'd say all the bloggers get in their cars and head to Palatka and cause a damn traffic jam, and that will cause media attention from around the world to go, what the hell's going on down there in Palatka? That's probably the surefire way of getting something. Other than that, I have no clue. That's my vote.
Actually, TJ, this is a subject that you and I have touched on several times. I mean, what can be done that's productive? I know what can be done that's destructive.
Yes.
Because, you know, we've seen it so many times.
Well, you know, one thing that actually got the ball rolling, and it came out actually, the line 5 of a rather inane press release on August 17th, we asked people to get involved and urge the people who are in charge in Putnam County, whether it be the county commissioners, whether it be a state representative or a state senator, to send a positively motivating sense of urgency emails imploring folks to get on the stick and to pay more attention to the case. Now, you and I both know that Putnam County is doing everything they can within the grasp of reality for a small agency, but a lot of times that kind of reawakens folks. And what did happen? Well, they did readdress something that came out very early in the investigation. They wanted to know the whereabouts of Misty, and believe it or not, when they were so silent and that came out, it was beautiful because it at least got people thinking about the case. It got people asking questions. It got people, you know, trying to provide leads to law enforcement. And the thing was, as long as you're not going, you lazy SOBs, you know, leave that to your little blogger bunch, okay? Be positive, be constructive, and not destructive in your messages. Urging more attention be paid to this case. It got the ball rolling once. I don't know if it's going to be able to do it again. It's a very simple process, but it will at least let folks who actually care about Haley have some kind of an outlet, and a constructive one and not a destructive one, in order to get the interest going again and to get the motivation perhaps refocused. I mean, that might sound lame to some of you, but it's about the best that we can do at this point, because so many of us, not necessarily me, because I live in the next county over, which is Alachua, and they're in Putnam. But for folks who live in, like, say, Arizona, folks in Canada, folks in Louisiana, Massachusetts, whatever, you know, you ask what you can do, and some of you have done everything you can possibly do besides get on a plane and start looking, and touching down in Florida and start looking yourselves. But I think if we keep the motivation up, the encouragement up, something's going to happen. I mean, like I said, is this going to move mountains? Probably not, but it's going to get people who need to be paying attention, at least paying attention. And it's a small victory, but I think it's a worthy one.
Okay, I'm just asking because, you know, I am a blogger and I try to support the whole Haley case, including law enforcement. And just wanted to know, I mean, there's been so
you have to step out of the forums and make emails. You know, the forums are basically people talking to the choir, I've seen. And I could be wrong, and please correct me if I am.
I think so. I think you're right. I think you're right, though. You got to step out with the emails.
Okay.
Step out with the emails and get away from just your circle of influence within a blogosphere, because that can turn into basically a circular firing squad, and I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
You need to get out the emails and get the positive emails out to those in power and those who make decisions in Putnam County and in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, TJ. Could you post a link, or I mean an article with the people we should contact?
Sure, I'll get that out sometime before Thanksgiving. I have it someplace on record, but this is a very crazy week. Tomorrow we're going to be covering the 351st MP unit returning back home from Iraq just in time for Thanksgiving. That's about 200 soldiers coming in, and we're going to be dedicating most of the day to coverage of that. But hopefully Tuesday or Wednesday I'll have that up and going.
Okay,
TJ,
thank you.
If it would be of any assistance, if you ship it to me, I'll happily post it
sure.
for you.
Sure, that'd be great. Thank you for the teamwork, Simon. Jan,
no
both
problem.
Of you.
It was a really good question. Mm-hmm. You know, what can a blogger do? And I know what they shouldn't do, and that's, you know, fight within their little circles. I mean, Jan, you know, we've... How many fights have we witnessed in the last few months?
Well, I don't even have a count on them. The problem that everybody is with everybody is everybody's got their own belief. Everybody's got their own theory, and they get very upset with somebody that comes in and says, "Okay, I think this is what happened," and if it's totally against what they believe, they get upset with it. Mm-hmm. And that starts fights. People have to realize everybody's got their own theory. And like I've told them in our chat on Blogger News, Simon has his theory, I've got my theory, but it doesn't mean that we agree with what each other thinks. But we don't fight about it. We're allowed to have our own choice. And some believe she's dead, some believe she's alive, some believe that Ronald's side of the family has her. Some believe that Crystal's side has her. But you have to be open to any possibility right now because nobody knows. And like I've said in an article that I recently wrote, everybody's hollering, forget about all the sideshows. Where's Haley? If we knew where Haley was, we wouldn't have these sideshows. We wouldn't have some of this other stuff. So, you know, you just got to have patience with everybody. Everybody's frustrated, but we just have to work together and find an answer to this.
No, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for the damn sideshows, it would be a cold case.
Well, that's true, too, but nobody wants, I mean, they're so quick to yell at us saying, you know, we don't want to hear about this. What's this got to do with finding Haley? And I
but they
to
still
explain.
Listen.
Right, and
yeah.
they still come back, and they still complain to us. But if they're not listening, if they're not reading what we're having, they'd be saying, well, how come you don't have her name in the lights? And, I mean, it's like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Okay, we're almost out of time. I want to run around the table one time and get everyone's parting thoughts. Levi, I'm going to start with you.
Yes. You know, I think that Jan said it best, that... you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If this show wasn't talking about Haley Cummings, you'd probably be getting floods of hate mail saying, hey, why aren't you talking about her? Talk about her. And she needs to be found, dead or alive, she needs to be found. I think everybody can agree on that. And hopefully law enforcement will progress in this case. And thank you for keeping her name out there, Simon and Jan.
Well, thank you, Levi. Denny, your parting thoughts for the day.
Yes, I have the concern that was mentioned earlier that this case may end up in the cold case file. Like Cobra said, it's been cold for some time, and just not be solved. I think, as Levi just said, she needs to be found dead or alive, but there needs to be some resolution. And if she's still alive, whoever took her and is keeping her needs to be punished. If she is no longer alive, whoever did it to her needs to be prosecuted and punished. But if something has to happen, I'm afraid it's going to go in the forgotten about file. So I pray that isn't the result of this.
Let's hope that it doesn't turn out to be like the case you solved with your Collada book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 28 years, that's a long time.
Too long.
Way, way too long. TJ, your thoughts?
As we head into the Thanksgiving season, pray for Haley's return. I pray for a live return. You pray whichever way you wish. Also, remember that despite some of the things that happen in this world that are very, very tragic, we do have our families and we do have our networks of support with which we lean upon each and every day. I thank my maker each and every day, and I always ask for a lot of guidance there because I was made human and not perfect. So count your blessings, hug the ones that need hugging, and hug the ones that probably weren't hugged by someone else at a critical time in their life, because all folks inherently have the probability to be good. And let's all just try to get along a little bit for this week.
I think that's a great sentiment. Cobra.
Well, I'm along the lines with TJ. I'd say as we all sit down to Thanksgiving dinner, and you're sitting there looking at all your loved ones that you've invited, and you're looking around the table right before you take that first big old bite of turkey, just say a little prayer and give thanks to those who have unselfishly given all they can give, trying to find out what happened to this child. And I think that as we're sitting there with all our folks present and accounted for, there's still a bunch of little missing children out there, not just little Haley, but since that's the topic of this one, if you would just think and pray and give thanks to those who, like I said, have unselfishly given of their time and of their loved ones and everything else and all the trials and tribulations that have come along with this dastardly deed here, just give thanks for that. And I think that if nothing else, at least we'll have some sentiment in our heart that we did something.
And last but by no means least, Jan.
All I ask is that nobody give up praying for this little girl. And like Cobra said, all the other ones too. They all need somebody to be a voice for them. And if we can't be that for them, what else can we do? Let's just find them and bring them home safe.
I want to thank all of our panelists, and I want to thank everyone that called in, all the people that asked questions in the chat room. I'm sure that, I know we will be back next Sunday with another program, and I do want to wish everyone a very, very happy Thanksgiving, and think about what Thanksgiving means, giving thanks. There is so much that we all have to give thanks for.
Amen.
This is Simon Barrett and Jan Barrett wishing everyone a wonderful day, wonderful week, and we will be back with you again soon. Goodbye.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.